like that. You've heard of the Psalter. That's what that is. Psalms put in musical form. All right, let's go to Genesis 43 now. Genesis chapter 43. This is beautiful. Beautiful and glorious story. I hope you read this. If you did, then you look forward with great anticipation to this portion. The title of this message is Acceptance in the Son. Acceptance in the Son. Now, I have to review, tell the whole counsel, tell the whole story to fully appreciate it. You have to go back to the beginning. Now, these sorry sons of Jacob, sinners all of them, they came before Joseph with strictly material purpose to get some coin. They just wanted their bellies filled. That was it. But Joseph. But God and His purpose, His marvelous providence, Joseph and His foreknowledge, saw them come. And He knew them, but they didn't know Him. And their salvation didn't depend on them knowing Him, did it? It depended on Him knowing them. And He did. He knew them. And Joseph, though, in his wisdom, according to his purpose, what he had planned to do with these men, he made himself strange to them. He hid himself from them, that is, his true identity, and spoke roughly to them. Spoke hard things to them. Spoke mean to them. That's the way he first dealt with them. Look at chapter 42. Look at it again. Verse 7. Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. Our Lord foresaw us, foreknew us. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called. Come here. When he called, he justified. This whole story is right there in that Romans 8. But he knew them, but verse 7 says, made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly, or the margin says, spake hard things unto them, and accused them of being spies. What he actually accused them of was much less than what they were guilty of. Now, this is how God Almighty deals with every single son of Jacob He purposes to save. Without exception. Every single son of Jacob, every single foreloved one of Christ, of God, He deals the same way. They don't know Him at first, but He sure knew them. Foreknew them. And in providence, in God's good time, they come under the sound of God's Word. Like these men. They came for the wrong reason, didn't they? And I told you my story. It's probably yours. You came to church for whatever reason. A girl like me, or a guy, or whatever. Get a job, or trouble, sickness, whatever. But God in His mercy and grace purpose to save you and put you under the sound of the gospel. And the first thing He does, though, is make Himself strange to you. That's the first thing. Could be you were religious before you heard the gospel. Most are. And you, when you first heard this gospel, when you first heard of the God of the Bible, it sounded strange to you then. All you'd ever heard of was God is love. God wants, what all God wants and tries to do, can't let man. you hear of this absolutely holy and sovereign and just God who by no means clears the guilty and doesn't need anybody and purposed all things, and it's not up to man whatsoever. That God is not in man's hand, but vice versa. You hear of this absolutely holy and just God who punishes sin. That's the first thing God must do. A God who punishes sin. That's not being preached at. And this is strange to you. I've never heard this before. I've never heard God like this before. And he also speaks rough to you. When you first heard the gospel, you did not hear how much God loves you. You heard what this book says about you. You heard what this book calls you a worm, a dog, a worthless, no good, wretched, vile, hell-deserving, unworthy. These are Bible words. That there's none good, none righteous, no, not one, all stinking, filthy. They're hard things, aren't they? Rough language. God speaks roughly to all His. And I love that portion of Scripture that says when Christ spoke hard things, someone said, "Who can hear them? He's a hard thing. Who can hear them?" Every one of His disciples did. And they left Him. Well, every one of these sons of Jacob did. Hard thing. Hard thing. Because you know why? What is the beginning of saving wisdom? What is the beginning of wisdom? What must first happen to a son of Adam? What's the first thing God creates in the heart and the mind of a human being? That's right. Fear. That's the beginning of it. All whom God saves, the first thing He does to them is make them fear God. And when you fear God, you start asking for mercy. You see? Well, these fellows, after He started talking hard and rough things to them, they began to fear Him. They thought, you know, they could have had in their mind, "Oh, we're going to come in here and, you may be glad to see us. We've got as much right as anybody at this corn." And this Lord, this high and lofty Lord sitting on this throne, began to speak rough to them. Wouldn't even speak to them, as a matter of fact. Spoke to them in church. And man, His words began to have their began to break these sorry, no good sons of Jacob. Yes, the words of the Lord had their effect. To break them. At first they denied what He said about them, didn't He? He made these accusations. "You're spies." And they all denied to a man and said, "No, we're good men. We're true men." But then, after they were put in the prison a little while, after they come, He kept repeating, "No, you're spies. No, we're not. What I said, I said. You're spies. That's what I said." And they began to say, "We're worse than that." They were sitting in prison. They said, "Well, we're guilty of killing our brother. We're not spies. We're worse than that." And that's the way it is with all of us. After hearing the first, the gospel at first, we deny. "I don't like that. I don't like what the preacher say about me. I'm not that bad." You remember that story, don't you? That fellow listening to the TV program. My dad preaching on TV. One Sunday morning, sitting there and watching the TV, had a can of Budweiser in his hand, you know, and he just had his back when they had dials. He turned it over there to the preacher. And the preacher was calling him a sinner. And that man said, he jumped up, "I ain't no sinner." And put the dial over and went back and sat down. Sat there a minute, he said, Maybe I am a sinner. Went back and turned his back again. May have been under the gospel ever since. I ain't no sinner. I ain't that bad. And the more you sit under the gospel, the more you hear God's word, the more you realize I'm worse than that. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I'm not fit to be called a saint. I'm less than the least. I'm the chief of sinners is what I am. All right? That's what these fellows began to realize. It's all true and worse. Well, now here they are. These sorry but broken sons of Jacob. They hear from the Lord's mouth. Now, after they've heard these hard things, and after they've been thoroughly broken, they hear from the Lord's mouth, the Lord on the throne of Egypt. They hear, now there's one way I'm going to accept you. There's one way I'm going to have anything to do with you. Sorry, Lot. There's one way for you to dwell with me and dwell in this land and go in and out and have anything. One way. I'm going to tell it to you. I'm going to tell it again, and that's all I'm going to say to you. Look at chapter 42. Look at verse 15. Hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, by the life of the great Lord, you shall not go forth. You're not going to leave this place except your youngest brother come here. I've got to see your brother. Look at verse 20. Now he said it again. Bring your youngest brother unto me, and so shall your words be verified. You say you're true men. Only one way I'm going to count you true men. Bring that brother. And you won't die. You won't die. He said it twice. Not once, but twice. And that's all he had to say to him. One. Well, they go home. He lets them go. Now, as tokens of his goodness and his kindness, as tokens of the certainty of his word and his promise. Now, his word's good enough. But he ladens them with gift after gift after gift, more than they can carry. They have to have mules. More than they could be. They didn't ask for this. He gave them more than they could ask for even things. As a token of his goodness. They should have believed him, should have. Right there. Could have taken his word. He's the Lord on the throne. But not only that, but he just gave them token after token. They go home, and what did they do? They hear this, sounds good. They all sound. As a matter of fact, it was so good, they didn't believe it. It was too good to be true. They were set free, and here they were coming home with all these gifts. And all the food they could eat and more. And they thought, this can't be true. He's setting us up. God's going to get us. This can't be true. All his gifts, can't be. He's going to take them back and he's going to kill them. Everyone, to a man, Sam, they all thought, or Sam, they all said, he's going to kill us. That's what he's going to do. All they had to do is bring the son back. That's it. Were his commandments grievous? Huh? Were they hard? Was it tough? Did he lay on them an unnecessary burden? Did he tell them, crawl on your hands and knees all the way back home? Did he say, do penance for 15 years? Bring me back every penny you dime you've made. Bring it all. Just bring the son. I just want to see the son. Now here are tokens. Go home and tell your dad that. So they did. They went home and they told their families it. Look at verse 29. They came unto Jacob their father in the land of Canaan and told him all that befell them. They were kind of in a daze, really. Look at all this, Dad. We all got our money and And down in verse 33 and 34, and a man, the lord of the country, now he said this unto us, though. He said, hereby shall I know that you're true men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the family of your household and be gone. But bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know you're most kind. So will I deliver your brother, and you shall traffic in the land. What the lord of the land said to us, I will, and you shall. Just bring your brother. I will, and you shall. That's it. And you know that's the way it is for everyone. I'm first here in the doctrine. And if you're a sorry, you feel yourself to be a sorry, no count, worthless son of Jacob. It was one of the worst, Simeon. You think it's too good to be true. He can't. I believe God has mercy, but I don't believe it'd be for me. Anybody in here like that? Were like that? And are like that? Yeah, I believe God will have mercy on sinners. I believe Christ died for sinners. I believe God is gracious and fair and gives it to not for me. It's just too, no, I'm just too great a sinner. Well, you know, about all we know when we first hear the gospel is this. I'm a great sinner. God told me. But he saved. He did say, when I see the blood, I'll pass away. He did say that you come to me by my son and I'll receive you. He did say that. That's about all we know at first, you know. We're accepted in his beloved. That, verses like that quickly become your favorite verse. And these fellows repeated this over and over again. That's all they knew, Dan. That's all they could say. Look at chapter 43 now. Chapter 43, you know, famine was sore in the land, and they had to go back for more corn. And that's a picture of us. We're poor and needy. We need mercy daily. Well, what does it say about his mercy? About every day. About every morning. What does it say? It's new every morning. He can come. What? How can you come to this throne of grace? Huh? How can you come to this throne of grace to find help in time of need? How? Boldly. What's the requirement to come to receive this righteousness? Hunger. The mercy. What's the condition needed to receive mercy? Guilt. Well, they had to come back. And they're scared. They are. They're scared. And Dad's scared. They're all scared. But they're needy, you see. They're needy. They've got to go or they'll die. They got to go back where they got to go back and get the same thing they got in the first place. The beginning of their food. Well, verse 2, they came to pass, they eaten up the corn. The father said, go buy us a little. Verse 3, Judah said, now, Dad, the man did solemnly, he said, he protested. Hey, this is all felt, this is all they can think about. We got to take our brother. We're not going. The man said, except I see his face, your brother with you, you're not going to see my face again. And to a man, all of them. Now, they'd seen him. They'd heard him. They'd seen this great Lord. And they knew. He meant what he said. We got to take our brother with us. And they said, verse 4, if thou will send our brothers with us, we'll go down and buy food. If not, we're not going. We dare not go without our brother. Verse 5, if thou wilt not send him down, we'll not go down. The man said, you shall not see my face except your brother. That's all they knew. Huh? You know, I was thinking, these fellows kind of remind me of us trying to witness to people, trying to talk to people about the gospel. If all you're able to tell them is this, Brother Henry, that's all you need to know. That's all they need to know, right? God's holy. And God can't have anything to do with us outside of Christ. I mean, that's it. That's it. We're accepted in the blood. It's not us. It's the blood. Well, that's all they can keep saying. Well, I'm glad that was instilled in them. And I'm glad that's instilled in me. God's Word says one thing over and over again. You know that? God's Word says one thing from Genesis to Revelation. God's Word says one thing. Line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, prophets, apostles, preachers, they all say one thing. The prophets repeated what God said to them. The apostles repeated what the prophets said to them. We repeat what the apostles said to us. God will receive us one way. One way. One way. From Genesis to Revelation, this book says you can't see God without Jesus Christ. This book says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Period. Not when I see your works. Not when I see your faith. When I see the blood. Over and over, this book says that. Repeats it over. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. God will receive all that come unto Him one way. By Jesus Christ. By Him alone. And we can't come to God any other way. There's only one way, and there's only one begotten, well-beloved Son in whom God is well pleased, and the Scripture says, without doubt, you're accepted one way. In the blood. In the blood. You're accepted. Tall, short, young, old, black, white, male, female, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. There's one way of accepting. You're found in Him. You don't want your own righteousness. You want to be found in Him. Because when that Father sees the Son, that's all you know. All right, now you remember their doubts, don't you? They're going home. All that He did for them should have convinced them. It sure should have. And the simplicity of the message, I mean, He didn't require too much of them. That should have convinced them. That's all He said, bring your brother back. Well, Jacob, all right, verse 11. Jacob, he represents, well, let's read. Jacob, verses 11 through 14. Their father Israel said unto them, well, if it must be so now, if we have to, let's do this too. Let's do this. Okay, if you're going to take Benjamin, that's fine, but let's do this too. Take the best fruits in the land in your vessel. Carry the man present. Carry a present. Take a little balm, a little honey, and spices, and myrrh, and nuts, and almonds. Double money. Take double money in your hand. Take more money than is necessary. The money that he brought, that you brought back in the mouth of your sack, take that back. Maybe it was an oversight. Maybe he really didn't mean that. Take all that you can. All right? And take your brother too. And go to the man. And God Almighty give you mercy. Yeah, that's what's going to have to happen before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. Well, they take all this stuff, okay? You know what I thought about Stan, right? Stan. I wish I would switch seats. I wondered, where'd they get all this stuff? Huh? This was a land of, this is a time of famine. Joseph gave to them. Brother Henry, they were bringing back what he had already given them. I thought, what a picture of us. And, you know, believers do in gratitude no matter we believe Christ, yet we still think, I need to do this, I need to do that, I got to. Right? Huh? Huh, Sylvia? Huh? Reuben? Huh? Ithacar? Anybody? Oh, still, I got to bring this. And in gratitude, we do. A believer seeking mercy and gratitude, he wants to return the best. He wants to bestow the first fruits unto his Lord and his God who's revealed the truth to him. Gratitude. But there's only one thing that is needed. There's only one thing the Lord's looking for. One thing. Look at it. Here they come. These sorry sons of Jacob. Look at verse 15. The men took the present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Here they stand. And then they're shaking. Huh? You reckon they're shaking? Scared to death. Guilty, vile, wretched they be. The spotless son named Benjamin, they say. Worthless sons of Jacob, everyone. But with them comes the beloved son. Will the Lord's wrath on them fall? Will they be accepted? Oh. Trembling, fearful, with desperate plea. What saith the Lord? We shall see. Verse 16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin, he was looking for one person. When Joseph saw Benjamin. Not the money, not the gift. He saw the son, the beloved son, in whom he was well pleased. He said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home. Bring them to my house, he said. Bring them to my house. Slay, or that is, kill the fatted calf. Make ready, make preparations for these men. They're coming home to dine with me, like family. Why? He just saw the sun. He saw the sun. Now, from the oldest to the youngest, every one of them had one hope. Simeon. Here's Simeon standing next. He's the oldest. Reuben. Which one? Reuben, I forget. Anyway, who is it? Somebody tell me. You Sunday school teacher. Here, test for you. Reuben or Simeon? Fire. Reuben or Simeon? Fire. Vicky. I think it's Simeon. Somebody tell me. Who cares? He's standing there. All right? The oldest one. He's called the strongest, the mightiest. It's Reuben. That's who it is. He's called the strongest, the mightiest. He's probably the one that looks most like his father. He's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, he's strong, he's virile, he's a mighty man. What's his hope? Huh? Surely the Lord's going to look at him and say, what a fine man you are. He doesn't even look at him. He said, well, there's Benjamin. Come on in, Reuben. Down to the smallest one, Ithacar, whoever the last one is, this trembling, frail little mama's boy, skinny, no good to look at, doesn't know anything, can't do anything, rotten to the core, you know. What's, surely he ain't going to be let in. Well, there's Benjamin. Come on in, Ithacar. To a man, every one of them were accepted. Why? Accepted in the blood. And
so are we. So are we.
Huh? Was Joseph true to his word? Oh, yes. He sure was. He was before and he is now. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say to you than he has said to you who for refuge to the Lord Jesus has fled? Huh? Fear not, I'm with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, I am thy God. I'll still give thee aid. What more can he say? He's been true to every son of Jacob from the very beginning. From the first son, from Adam. And every one of Adam's rotten knows his son that came with Christ. He said, come on in. Come on in. It's all prepared for you. You're going to dine with me. Like family. Every son of Jacob. And it was done. Look at verse 17. It was done. The man did. And as Joseph bade, the man brought the men into Joseph's house. What a picture of the Holy Spirit this is, huh? The Lord on the throne sent somebody, get them, fetch them, kill them, kill the calf, make ready, bring them in. That's the Holy Spirit sent by our Lord. And it was done. Christ said, I've spoken it, I'll do it. Verse 18. But the men were afraid. They were afraid. They were still afraid. Because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, well, first they were going home with all they could carry. They couldn't even carry it. They had music. Couldn't even carry it all. All they could carry. Oh, he's going to kill them. He's going to kill them. Now they go in and they have all this bountiful table spread before them. All the goodness of Egypt spread before them. And the king on the throne gives express orders to bring them in and do for them, do good for them, and they sit in there and eating big chunks, big old chicken leg in their mouth and say, he's going to kill us. He's going to get us now. No, he's not. Why? There's his Benjamin. There's his Benjamin. Joseph kept looking at Benjamin. As long as Benjamin was sitting there now, everything was all right. All right. But they pour out their hearts to the steward of Joseph. They pour out their hearts to him, verses 19 through 22, and I'll quit. They came near to the steward of the house, and they was in private. They came and communed with him at the door of the house. Said, oh, sir, all we wanted was food when we first came here. And now we're in a mess. We didn't come here for all this. We're tore up. All we wanted was food. I was just coming to church. What do you say? I was just coming to church. We don't. Verse 21. It came to pass, we came to the inn, we opened our sack, behold, our money was in the sack, the money full of weight, we brought it again, and other money was brought down in our hands. We can't, who do it? We don't know who's doing all this. We can't tell. Somebody's doing all this to us. We just don't know what's happening. That's what they were saying. We don't know what's happened to us. We just want something.
And this, and we're just, our lives have turned upside down. And listen to this message. Now, what the first thing they heard when they came to Egypt was rough things. Hard things. Scared them to death. And all these things, goodness, promises and all that, yet they're still there fearful. Okay? Now listen to what they hear. All right? Now listen to what they hear from the mouth of the steward who represents the gospel preacher. Steward of the grace of God. Look at verse 23. He said, boys, peace. You sons of Jacob, peace. Fear not. Your God is doing this. I tell you who's doing this. Your God. Your God has given you treasure. Oh, we have this treasure. Huh? No way. In earthen vessels. That the excellency of the Father. Who did this? Your God. That's it. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings because the Son's with us. He said. Because of His purpose concerning the Son. And He brought old Simeon out. Simeon, you come out to. And the man brought, look at this, verse 24. And the man brought men into Joseph's house. The steward brought them in, gave them water, washed their feet, gave them pomegranate. And it ain't over yet. But I can tell you this, they live happily ever after. With Joseph. What? What? Because of the beloved Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom God is well pleased. And He sees the Son, no matter how weak the faith, and He says, accept Him. Accept Him. All right, stand with me. Our Father, thank You for Your Son, our Savior, our acceptance. Our Lord and Jesus Christ, thank You for Him. Thank You for revealing Him to us. I ask that You do it for someone else. In Christ's name, amen. Here it is.